Welcome back. In this lesson, we're getting deep into a very specific, but seriously important jungle and old-school DNB move, cleaning the tail of an 808 so it sits properly under chopped breakbeats, without killing the dubwise character that gives the low end its attitude. Now this is not about making the 808 tiny, it's about making it controlled. It needs to feel like a bass instrument, not a fog machine sitting underneath the drums. In jungle, that low end has to do two jobs at once. It has to hit with weight, and it has to get out of the way fast enough for the break to breathe. If the tail runs too long, it blurs the kick, masks the snare, and the whole drop loses its edge. So the goal here is to use Ableton Live 12 Groove Pool, clip editing, and a smart processing chain to make the bass feel musical, rhythmic, and mix-ready. We're going to clean the tail in a groove-aware way first, and only then use compression and saturation to finish the job. First thing, build the low-end source. Load a clean 808 sample into Simpler or Sampler on a dedicated bass MIDI track. If the sample has a strong fundamental and a long tail, that's actually great for this technique, because we want something we can shape. We don't want a sample that's already been crushed into submission. Set it up cleanly. Use one-shot or classic mode in Simpler, turn warp off for the sample if it's a proper one-shot, and tune the note to the key of the track. For jungle and DNB, you'll often be living around C, D, or F sharp, just because those notes tend to behave nicely in the sub-range. Keep the sample start tight so the transient is consistent. Now write a bass pattern that actually leaves room for the drums. This part is huge. In old-school DNB, the bass line isn't supposed to fill every gap. It should answer the break. Think in phrases, not just notes. Let some notes land on the downbeat and let others act like pickups before the snare. If you're using an amen-style break, try longer notes on the downbeat and shorter answers before the snare hits. That creates that dubwise tug, that push-pull energy that makes the style feel alive. And here's a teacher tip. Don't solo the bass and trust your ears completely. Always keep the break in context. A bass tail can sound too long in solo, but actually be perfect against the drums, or it can sound fine alone and still stomp all over the snare. The break is the master reference. Next, get the breakbeat feeling right before you try to fix the bass. Load your break loop on its own track or in a drum rack. Open clip view and audition the groove. Then go into the groove pool and choose a swing that matches the era and energy you want. A classic starting point is something like MPC 16 swing in the mid-50s. Around 55-57% gives you a loose rolling feel. A touch higher can give you a more elastic jungle bounce. A little lower keeps things tighter and more rollerish. Apply the groove to the break first. Let the drums own the pocket. Now bring the bass clip into the conversation. This is where the magic starts. Instead of making the bass exactly match the drums, give it a slightly different relationship to the groove. You can apply the same groove, but with a lower timing amount on the bass. Think somewhere around 15-35%. That keeps it human, but not overly stretched. The bass should feel like it's leaning with the break, not swimming through it. This is the first real trick. Use groove timing to pre-clean the tail before you even touch sidechain compression. In other words, don't rely on a compressor to solve a note length problem. Shorten the note in the MIDI editor first. Then let the groove give it feel. That way, the bass occupies the right rhythmic window and doesn't spill into the next kick or snare. And that idea is worth repeating. Think in tail windows, not just note lengths. Ask yourself which little pockets of time the tail is allowed to live in. Is it safe between kick and snare? Is it stealing the ghost note? Is it masking a break chop? That's the kind of thinking that gets you from basic cleanup to real jungle bass control. Now go into the MIDI clip and shape the note lengths. Shorten the 808 notes more than you think you need to. In busy sections, the tail might only need to live for an eighth note, maybe a bit more. In sparser sections, you can let it breathe longer. If the bass absolutely has to ring out, let it do that in a gap, not across a backbeat. Use the clip's note length and envelope controls to shape the decay. If you're in sampler, use the amp envelope to make the decay musical. If you're in simpler, you can use volume shaping or envelope style control through the chain. The important thing is that the tail should feel intentional. It should bloom, then disappear cleanly before the next rhythmic event. A really useful arrangement trick here is to treat the bass differently from bar to bar. In the first half of a drop, you can let the 808 tail beat a little fuller so the listener feels the weight. In the second half, tighten it up a bit so the groove opens out and the drums can breathe more. That kind of phrase-by-phrase bass treatment is very much part of old-school DNB energy. Once the tail length is under control, Bring in EQ8. This isn't about making the bass weak, it's about carving out the mud so the tail sits cleanly. Look for buildup in the low mids, especially around 120 to 250 Hz. That's often where the 808 gets bloomy and starts fighting the kick body. If there is boxiness or a woofy quality around 300 to 500 Hz, clean that too. Keep the fundamental intact down low, and don't high pass the true sub unless there's a specific reason. If the 808 has too much click or top-end buzz, you can gently low pass it. For old-school jungle, you usually care more about the low-mid shape and the sub weight than a bright transient sep. Here's an advanced move: use arrangement-aware EQ changes. You don't need every bar to be treated exactly the same. If a fill is coming up, dip the bass body a little for that moment. If the drop opens up again, bring it back. Even a couple of dB can make the low end feel like it's moving with the arrangement instead of being frozen in place. Now add some saturation or drum bus. This is where the tail gets defined without becoming longer. A little saturation can make the bass read more clearly on smaller speakers and can give it that dubwise attitude. Use a modest amount of drive. If you're using saturator, keep it subtle and use soft clip if needed. If you're using drum bus, keep the drive reasonable and be careful with boom unless it's really tuned to the track. This is a classic low-end psychology trick. Saturation can make a note feel shorter while actually making it seem more present. So the bass gets clearer, but not necessarily bigger in a messy way. Always monitor the sub in mono. If you want width, keep that for a higher bass layer, not the true sub. Put utility at the end if needed and keep the low-end lock to mono. Jungle and ENB really punish stereo sub mistakes. Then comes sidechain compression, but keep it subtle. A lot of people jump straight to heavy sidechain and wonder why the track loses its bounce. In this workflow, sidechain is the final cleanup stage, not the main solution. Set up a compressor with sidechain from the kick, or from the drum bus if needed. Use a fast attack, a moderate release that matches the groove, and only enough ratio to make space. You're aiming for maybe 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction on the heaviest hits, not an obvious pumping effect unless that's part of a style. And here is another coach note. Watch the sidechain against the whole drum loop, not just the main kick. A ghost snare or a break chop can still create blur even if the kick looks clean. So listen to the full pattern. Let the drums be the judge. Now, once the bass tail is feeling good, resample it. This is one of the most powerful moves in this whole lesson. Route the bass to a new audio track and record 4 to 8 bars of it against the break. Now you can treat the bass like audio, which gives you surgical control. You can trim a note, fade a tail, move a phrase slightly, or even reverse a tail into a transition. That matters a lot in jungle, because bass phrases often need to change shape across the arrangement. Maybe bar 1 to 4 has longer tails, and bar 5 to 8 is tighter and more percussive. With resampled audio, you can make those changes fast without constantly reprogramming the MIDI. If needed, apply groove pool again to the resampled audio, but keep it very subtle. On audio, tiny timing changes can make the bass feel performed rather than programmed. You can also nudge the start of a tail a few milliseconds later if it's crowding the groove. That's often better than chopping the whole note shorter. And that's another important mindset. If the bass feels like it's crowding the drums, try nudging it late a touch instead of just shortening everything. Micro-pushing the bass behind the break can preserve weight while making the groove feel locked in. Now let's talk about arrangement. In an intro, you might only tease the bass. Maybe there's a filtered tail, or just a muted hint of the note. In the first drop, let the tail breathe a bit more so the sound establishes itself. In the mid-drop switch, tighten the tails and let the break get more active. On the second drop, you can bring back a slightly longer tail or add a variation with a little more saturation. Then in the outro, strip away the low tail and leave just enough bass character for DJ mixing. That's how you make the bass part of the arrangement, not just a static loop. A really effective jungle move is to create call and response between the 808 tail and the break edits. If you add a drum fill, let the bass get out of the way for a beat or two, then bring it back with authority. That contrast makes the return hit harder than if the bass just played through everything. Let's quickly cover the most common mistakes. First, don't leave the tail too long and hope sidechain will save it. It usually won't. Shorten the note first. Second, don't apply the exact same groove amount to everything without listening to the pocket. The drums can own the groove more than the bass. Let the bass sit a little more subtly unless you want a deliberately lazy feel. Third, don't oversaturate the sub and lose clarity. A little goes a long way, especially in mono. Fourth, remember that old-school jungle needs negative space. Sometimes the cleanest bass move is to simply not play for a moment. Fifth, Be careful of low mid buildup around 120 to 250 Hz. That's a common zone for mud between kick and bass. And sixth, keep the sub mono. If you want movement, do it in a higher layer, not the foundation. If you want to go even deeper, try splitting the bass into layers. Keep a clean mono sub layer and add a second character layer above it, maybe a resish texture or a distorted copy, with the lows filtered out. That gives you pressure and movement separately, which is perfect for heavier jungle and darker DNB.